So you arrive on the field to launch this church, and you've got your team there, but you're not yet even having preview services. Perhaps before you had a job in a secular job, or maybe you were working at a church, and so you had a time you had to be there and a time that it ended the day. Now all of a sudden you got all this free time, and I think there are guys who struggle with that and say, how do I spend my time? How do I spend my day? Yeah. You know, how do you address that? Ben, what would you say to those guys?
Yeah, I think first of all, you want to get as much front-end coaching as you can from guys like Andy or yourself asking this question. And then you have to come up with, okay, if I have a strategy, then you kind of get what the big goal is and you begin to think backwards. Okay, what am I going to need to be doing? And I would give myself deadlines and just say, hey, I need to have this many relationships going by this such and such time, or I need to do this or that. And you have to pull away long enough to make those things, but you're not pulling away forever and just kind of drifting off and deciding, oh no, what do I do? You pull away so that you might re-engage with a focus and a clarity around, okay, this is what I've got to get done in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, whatever the time frame may be.
Yeah. How did you approach that, Andy?
Well, I'm a little bit OCD on some of this stuff, so maybe my system might not work for somebody else, but this is how I did
there.
It. We had that calendar from when we landed on the field to when we launched the church. We broke it down into milestones, the things I wanted to accomplish before our first service, things between the first and second, second and third, all the way to when we had our grand opening.
Okay.
Then within those milestones, we had stuff like our goal is to have 50 people meeting in a launch team, all of that. So I would back it up, and then I would look at that. I'd look at it probably a couple times a month, and I would write what I called 6x6 objectives. This comes from Bill Hybels' book, Axiom, where he talks about the next 6 things I need to accomplish over the next 6 weeks.
Okay, so to make it more bite-sized.
Yeah, and then once I had that 6x6 execution, I folded it up, put it inside of a journal, and it's major stuff like find the facility where we're going to meet, work on the first mailer for the first service, the big chunks.
Get your tax-exempt status.
Yeah, yeah. And then once I had that 6x6 execution, I created myself an ideal schedule because it was so flexible, there's no office, that ideal schedule I could look at and say, this is what a week should look like for me. Then within that, I would create weekly tasks that I needed to get done that I knew would contribute towards that 6x6, which I knew would contribute towards that bigger vision to keep moving forward. Then every day I would break it down and say, what are the top 8 to 10 things I have to get done today, and cross them off that list. And I know if I narrowed it down to the day-to-day basis, if I'm cooperating with the Spirit of God and His vision, then that's these steps, decisions are gonna move me towards that vision.
Okay, now Ben, you've got a team with you.
Right.
And if you're struggling with that as a leader,
right,
they're definitely struggling with
it. No doubt.
So how do you supervise the time of your team members?
Yeah, well, you don't necessarily always have to be together, but you want to create, in fact, Andy would taught me, kind of have this Monday meeting and then have a meeting on Thursday. Monday, here's what we're going for this week. Here's what each of you need to accomplish. Thursday was kind of that check-in. Hey, did you get it done? We agreed to this. Did you get it done? And just keeping them accountable. And one of the big things about this entire conversation is there are a million things we will do at some point in the future as a church. And so part of it's having the wisdom to know we don't need to necessarily worry about our church governance right now, right? We don't necessarily even have to have this huge small group strategy right now. We are just trying to get this church off the ground. We're going to address those things. We may have thoughts about those things. We may have experience.
Put them over here. We're going to address this later.
Yeah. We'll get there. What we've got to do, you know, it's funny, Tim Milner, our executive pastor on our staff, his dad works with NASA, and he works for the basically rocket fuel engineer is what he is. And so we asked him, what percentage of the fuel comes about with the launch? And he says about 98% of the fuel is used just to get the rocket ship off the ground. And so really, we wanted to make sure we were giving that kind of focus and energy to, we're just trying to get this church off the ground. We'll try to figure it out as we go along after its launch, but we need to get this thing going.
Yeah, I think one of the struggles that most guys run into is they read these books by people who've never done what they're suggesting in their book prior to launching a church. So I feel like, oh, I gotta have this soup kitchen and I gotta have this international ministry to Ethiopia. And they're trying to do all these things before they launch the church.
That's good.
And my counsel when I talk to guys is say, okay, put everything on the side until you launch the church that does not contribute towards launch day. And if you do that, once your church is launched, you know, we're feeding the homeless now. We're doing international missions. We got a great life group strategy now. But if you try to do all that stuff, you get paralysis by analysis, you get overwhelmed, you put a yoke on yourself that God didn't intend you to carry, and then a year or two later, the consequence with a lot of these guys is they're packing their bags and going home.
Yeah, you forfeit the very thing that you have a heart for, you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that we do on our staff, and you guys know this because we've talked about it, is once a month I sit down with the guys that I supervise and I ask them to answer three questions. Number one is, what did they spend the last 30 days doing? Second of all, what are they going to spend the next 30 days doing? And that gives me a chance to redirect them if I think they're not spending their time in the right place. And then the third thing is, what do they need from me? They need money from me. They need influence. Yeah. They need encouragement. They need me to get the heck out of the way and let them do their job. It occurred to me when you were talking earlier, Ben, about sitting down on a Monday with your team, that those are probably some good questions, except for instead of 30 days, it's what have you been doing the last, you know, three days?
Yeah.
And
really
then what are you going to be doing the next 3 days before we meet again?
Yep.
And what do you need from me in the meantime?
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's just that thing of giving direction, not only to yourself as the senior leader, but also giving very clear direction to those folks who are on your team.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier over the course of time to loosen up than to tighten down. So if you start with clear objectives, and then once you know that, you know, a year or two or 3 years in, when they're doing a great job and they're soaring, you can shift your leadership style. But it's some of the old Ken Blanchard with the one-minute manager, and the shift of a person's giftedness, their competency. Once we've worked with them for a while, we know their competency, we can move to a different style. But I would encourage guys on the front end to be very, very involved, making sure that the guys are working on what they want them to work on in alignment with God's vision to contribute towards getting the church off the ground.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Ken Blanchard's model, what he talks about is you begin with every employee, no matter how competent they are, directing them, telling them what you want them to do. And then as you see that they get it, they get the vision, that they are competent in that area, you give them greater freedom to decide how they're going to spend their time to accomplish their task, and then greater freedom and even greater freedom. He calls it directing, and then coaching, and then supporting, and then the final part is delegation. And you really can ease up. It's hard to tighten back down, isn't it?